Both of the passages we will soon hear Courtney read are about encouraging the faithful. The book of Isaiah is one of the most important books of the Old Testament, scholars say, and Isaiah one of the greatest prophets. The book is a collection of oracles and prophecies and reports. You see, the people at that time were feeling pretty hopeless. So within this book, there are various sections, rebuke and promises, the hearing of Emmanuel, and so on. The verses you will hear come from the section called the Book of Comfort and the Promise and Purpose of Peace. The purpose of the verses we will soon hear is to silence the fears and encourage the faith, even in times of distress. And very much it is true for the book of Romans and the passage that will be read. The book of Romans was written by the Apostle Paul and written at a time when the new church, the church in Rome, was facing a lot of persecution. And people were struggling, losing their jobs, their families, their freedom, and their hope. These verses are meant to encourage the people to be steadfast and welcoming, trying to build up the body of Christ. These words, written so long ago, are so very relevant to us here today. Listen carefully.
From Isaiah, "Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach, then let them speak. Let us draw together near for judgment. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, 'Take courage.' But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, who I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you whom I took from the ends of the earth and called from its farthest corners, saying to you, 'You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand.'" And from Romans, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself feel confident about you, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another." May God bless our understanding of this reading.
One of the great privileges of my job is to get to know many of you and hear your stories. So lately, when I've been meeting with people or emailing with people or talking with people, there seems to be a theme of lament, of sadness, of isolation. Why? Why is my loved one dying? Why am I going through such a hard time? This isn't what I planned it to be, this thing called life. Why is my adult child struggling so much and I feel so helpless? Why are there more hate crimes in this beloved, beautiful, yet fragile world? Why? This theme of lament, of sadness, of isolation, we feel alone, and sometimes it's a little overwhelming. And so here we come to this place in the season of Advent, and you know, we have a theme each week: hope, peace, joy, love. This is the week of peace. So how do we feel peace when our lives and when our world seem a bit out of control? How do we ready ourselves for Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come into our midst yet again? So I'm convinced you can kind of pluck any phrase or passage out of the Bible and take it out of context and really use it for whatever you want to use it for, good or ill. How I like to view the Bible is this amazing book of stories and wisdom with great overarching themes. So as I said at the first service, we're going to go over three today. Not the only three themes in the Bible, but the three that I think help highlight what the season of Advent is all about. Fear. The angel Gabriel says many times in this Christmas story, this story that we think about is kind of this fluffy, easygoing, right? Someone's born and it's great and let's all celebrate and Santa comes and the cookies and all that. Well, if you look at the context of when Jesus was born, it was a world of poverty, of injustice. It was a world that was riddled with problems. And in comes this angel who tells Mary that she's going to have a baby, and Mary is a little perplexed and a little scared, and the angel says, "Do not be afraid." Then the angel goes to Joseph and tells him that he's going to have a kid, but not really because it's God's kid, but do not be afraid. And then the angel goes to the shepherds, who were outcasts of society on the margins, and tells them, basically, you're going to have a very big role in this amazing life-changing story, so get ready. And they're afraid, because they're outcasts. But the angel says, do not be afraid, for God is always with you. So this story that we, like to tell and have little Christmas kid books about and Advent calendars is really a powerful story about fear turning into love. The world was a fearful and hard place. And yet this baby is born and the world is turned upside down. Love. Love. Do not be afraid, for God is always with you. But sometimes this God takes a long time. Can you imagine being the Israelites? 40 years searching for the promised land. And God keeps saying, don't hang in there with me, we'll get there. This thing called faith demands of us patience and persistence. Because it's not always going to be easy. Love is not always going to be apparent to us. And yet, that's what we need, patience and persistence. I don't know if some of you know, but Parker Palmer is a Quaker theologian who is amazing. And I love reading his writings. They're simple, they're profound. I actually got to see him at Yale about 2 months ago, and it was just the highlight of my month. Parker Palmer tells the story of when he's 21 or 22, and in New York City, this idealistic, optimistic young guy, and he volunteers with the Catholic Worker House. The specific house was named Mary House. And he goes and he sees poverty up close for the first time in his life. And he's crushed that people don't have food, they don't have a place to live, they don't have warm clothes, and he doesn't know what to make of it. And then he meets this volunteer named Cassie Temple. Cassie, you see, is a PhD and a prolific writer and amazing. And as Parker explains, she should be off being a professor or a professional writer, but she spends her days at Mary House serving the poor of the poor. And Parker talks about that every week he goes, it seems like misery washes anew over the people. And so one day, Parker says to Cassie, how do you keep doing this hard, heart-wrenching work when you know you'll wake up tomorrow to problems that are just as bad or even worse than the ones you're dealing with today? She responds, what you need to understand is this. Just because something's impossible doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Day after day, I work. Just because something's impossible doesn't mean we can give up. No, we're told as faithful people that we need to keep going, even when the going gets tough. And that's why we need each other. We're all told, pastors, that we have one sermon and we just preach it in different words. So my one sermon, hint, hint, is that we're part of the beloved community and that we need each other. Our church theme this year, building the beloved community, right? Because we all feel isolation and sadness sometimes, so we need each other. Mark was standing in the grocery store line. It was the day before Thanksgiving, so just a few weeks ago. You can imagine what the lines were like. You can imagine that people were somewhat irritable. They just wanted to get through the lines and get home with their food. Everyone was minding their own business, and then behind Mark, someone elbowed him, pointed at the magazines by the cash register, and said, "Why do we let people like Ellen DeGeneres into our country? Gay people are ruining our world." He was bellowing this, yelling this. And then he went on and saw a picture of someone whose skin was a little bit darker than ours and said, "Yeah, those stupid refugees. They're ruining our country." Mark looks around and everyone's head is down. He's shaking. And he remembers when he was 6 years old and he was at his aunt's house, and his aunt explained to him that her house was part of the Underground Railroad. And he felt proud. And he thought, "I'm not going to allow that kind of hate in my world." And then when he was 13 and he learned about the Holocaust, he said, "I can't allow that kind of hate in my world." And that fire was burning in him in that grocery store line on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. He raised his head, his voice shaking, his hand shaking, and said, "I need people to put their heads up. I can't do this alone." Slowly, people's heads came up. "You need to be quiet. I'm not going to allow that kind of hate in my world," he says to that man. And people start clapping. "You need to be quiet. I'm not going to allow that kind of hate in my world." He mutters, "Well, I wasn't talking to you. Why are you so offended?" "I'm not going to allow that kind of hate in my world." People are clapping and crying. The guy keeps trying to utter more words of hate and ignorance. And Mark just keeps talking. "Put your head down. Stop talking like that." And eventually that man in the grocery store line puts his head down. And everybody else has their heads up. And they start talking like they're long-lost friends, not trying to ignore the situation that just took place, but knowing that they have connected in this weird and amazingly poignant way. Mark tells about his Friendsgiving that he had, where he invited some of his LGBT friends over. And then he tells that just a few days earlier, he had Thanksgiving for transgender youth who weren't invited home for Thanksgiving. The tears are rolling because before their eyes, something beautiful happened in that grocery store line. The beloved community was formed. Our faith says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you always." Our faith tells us that it's easy to be impatient, but that persistence is what we need. Our faith could be ruled by fear, but instead calls us to build the beloved community. Fear to trust, impatience to perseverance, hate to love. That's what Advent is all about. Amen.